Sammy Edmund joins us, the chief sports reporter. Sammy, the hub. Jared Waitley, our great man, is not as enamoured and doesn't think it's a realistic option. Others are suggesting otherwise. What can you tell us?
Well, someone's going to be right, Gary, but what the AFL stating as of yesterday in a long memo to clubs, and good morning to you as well, Tim, is that this is a real consideration for them. Now, Gillon McLachlan sent a very long memo yesterday stating that the clubs will have, quote-unquote, a clear path forward by the end of the month as the league closes in on a plan to resuscitate the season. They've formed a working group, guys, called Project Return to guide the game out of the coronavirus darkness. But Gill says to club chiefs, don't think this is going to be a quick bounce back to normality next year. They will feel the effects for years to come. He says there'll be significant impact on the 2021 and 2022 seasons, and he's got his strategist Walter Lee heading up much of that planning. He told clubs they'll gain some more clarity on their budgets and costs by the middle of the month with that line of credit secured and that distribution model we've talked about a lot in place until October 31. But as you stated, Gary, the critical question is if, when and how these 144 games and plus finals gain some form of resumption. Now, McLachlan confirmed to clubs that the hubs are being considered. He wrote, the hub alternatives being speculated about in the media are some of those scenarios and involve discussions with a wide range of stakeholders. We are working through all the scenarios, but I will say that placing all the individuals required in a controlled environment is one of the scenarios that is under consideration. But he does go on to state, guys, that they will be guided by the federal, state and territory governments about what is possible. Yeah. And obviously that the health and well-being of everyone in the industry is their main priority.
And so well, other group that needs to be consulted on this who haven't been at this stage, and they might have a big say in it, is the players.
That's true. And Patrick Dangerfield, if you listen to him yesterday with Jared Waitley, you'd walk away from that thinking, well, this just pretty much isn't going to happen. The players aren't keen at all. The AFLPA haven't been consulted as well, but they're a large body of stakeholders, aren't they? So I'm sure you're always going to get some that are red hot to play and others that are thinking, well, how long am I going to be away from my family for? 6, 8, 7, 9 weeks more in a small hotel room? What sort of accommodation is it going to be? Yeah. How often can we get out? Can we train? I mean, all those things to be worked out as well.
Sam, I think the idea that's being considered is that it wouldn't be 8 weeks. It wouldn't be that long. They're talking about possibly 3 weeks, fly in, fly out. So you'd go to one of the three destinations. There's three groups of six of the teams. Everybody's quarantined in that period of time. You might play four games in the 3 weeks in your group, and then you'd fly back out again and you'd rejoin your families. Did they go into any, in that email that you've got, did they go into any of that sort of detail?
No, they didn't. But isn't the issue with that, Tim, that they go to the hub and then they go off to another hub? So effectively, they're a travelling roadshow, are they not?
They go to a hub. The idea that's been put to me is they go to a hub and they play the games over a period of 3 weeks. Then they come back again to their families and they spend time with their families. Everybody gets the all clear again in terms of health and all that type of thing. And then they may cross over and go into another hub that's been quarantined. So
That would be better from a playing point of view. I could imagine there wouldn't be any issues with that in terms of if they're only away for 3 weeks. I mean, it would be an imposition, but they couldn't jack up at that, I wouldn't think.
No, he does say verbatim, they're working through all the options, Gillon McLachlan, this is, but he says, I will say as a general comment that placing all the individuals required to put on games in a controlled environment is one of the scenarios that is under consideration. To achieve that goal of getting to 144 games, which they haven't deviated from, plus finals as well. He does go on to finish this long email, guys, by stating there are going to continue to be lumps and bumps along the way, miscommunications, things we haven't thought of, tough calls, but we will stay united, as transparent as possible, and agile and flexible, and work through them and come out of this different but just as strong. He does make an interesting comment as well, Gary, that the opportunity, albeit the next 2 years are going to affect clubs and it's going to go on for a while, and as I say, there's no quick fix. But he does make mention of the opportunity to build the model from the bottom up when it comes to the industry and the football industry and clubs as well. So read into that what you will. He does go on to say that all these things that have been, we couldn't do because of traditions and structures that have long been in place historically, now they might not have those hurdles. So we're going to see some difference going forward, no doubt about that.
Well, I think he's right in saying that. They're not following some sort of manual here. I mean, nobody's ever written this before as to this is the right way to go. This is how you build a new competition based on hubs. So there are going to be some lumps and bumps along the way. And this has just come through from Ian off the speckled text too. What about the umpires? They're not full-time professionals. They would be expected to be in lockout or lockdown as well. Yes, they would. Everybody would be. Anybody that would be associated with a football club, and I would think that they would be doing this with the minimum number of people that they would need to take into a hub. But these are all the things that they'll be working through, and they've given themselves a bit of time to come up with a satisfactory answer, because they're talking about recommencing maybe on the 4th, I think, of May in terms of players going back to trade. That's a figure now, or that's a number now, or a date now that they're looking at for the recommencement of the competition on May 31. So, I mean, there's a lot of associated issues with this, a lot of issues that need to be worked through, and
unbelievably optimistic, isn't it? But I understand you've got to start to prepare, and you've got to put things in place, and you can move them out again. The interesting thing out of all that for me was that comment, build from the bottom up, and we've often spoke about this. If you were starting a national competition from scratch, what you would end up with wouldn't resemble anything like we had. Like, you wouldn't have a 22-week season where you play every side once plus another 6 games. All those things wouldn't happen if you started a competition from the bottom up. So that, to me, is the most interesting line out of all of that.
Yeah, he says there are implications for all of us and for every aspect of the game, but as challenging as some of it may be, there are also huge opportunities to build the bottom-up model that has been difficult historically to change because of entrenched structures. We don't have a choice but to change these structures, but we do have a choice as to how we achieve the best structures in order to set our game up to be successful and sustainable for generations to come. The first step will be a discussion document, hopefully by the end of April, Gary.
Then we had, I don't know whether you saw Barmy on Channel 7 News last night. Steve-O did sort of an interview with him, and Barmy was making the point, and he's probably one of the wisest people that are going around in the game. He was saying that be careful what you wish for in terms of stripping back the game and not re-employing people. And he made the point, this is the point he made about the grand final. He said, did anyone walk away from that grand final after watching Richmond play and play so magnificently and thinking, okay, oh, there's too many people involved in this game?
A couple of the bottom teams that couldn't afford it might have.
Well, they may have, but anyone that's working in the game right now is trying to salvage as much as they possibly can, because they're dealing with the people's lives and their livelihoods that are at risk in the game. And, you know, we can all talk about, streamlining the game and taking away all the associated costs, and that would mean taking away people's livelihoods. But, you know, for people like Barmy who are working in the game, he's talking about his co-workers and saying, okay, well, we want to try and maintain as many of these people as we possibly can.
Yeah, and of course, everyone understands that. And the conversation we had with Mark Brayshaw was enlightening as well last week when he did point that out, because whilst we could all say, I saw that interview. Barmy also said that, to his mind, no one in footy departments just waste money for the sake of wasting money. So he said to be very cautious as we go forward. Sammy, very good work by you, my friend.
No worries, Jensen. We'll keep in touch with you throughout the morning and the day as well here on SEN. The JobKeeper package, Parliament sitting today to pass legislation. We know the AFLPA are keeping a very close eye on that as well, particularly when it comes to, obviously, their minimum wage players that are taking 50% and potentially 70% pay cuts as well.